Hello and welcome to Church Planning Conversations, a podcast presented by the Asbury Church Planning Initiative.
Welcome to today's podcast. I'm really excited to have with us today my good friend, Mark Dunwoody, who's the missional Irish fella. He's in Ireland. He has years of experience working with nonprofits, church planning, Fresh Expressions. I originally met Mark when he was in Canada, and he was working for a diocese there, leading kind of church planning efforts, and also led the church planting movement, which is Fresh Expressions, there in Canada for a bit, and then came back to the UK, led the church planting efforts with St. Albans Diocese, and again, just a breadth of experience. Mark, it's great to have you with us today.
It's great to be here, Winfield. It's great.
Well, Mark and I have been working on kind of out of our friendship, and I think this is neat. What we're going to talk today is about missional formation coaching, kind of based on kind of our shared experience and our friendship. We've developed a kind of a practice of coaching that kind of brings together spiritual and missional practices. And so missional formation coaching really is designed to help leaders thrive by promoting healthy rhythms that connect spiritual and missional practices. Mark, tell us a little bit about the missional formation coaching. Actually, start off telling us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll talk about the coaching here in a minute.
Yeah, Winfield, thanks. I'm originally from Ireland, and I've worked around different places in the world. I've worked in the church planting world for a long time, you know, and I grew up in the Troubles in Northern Ireland when things weren't great. And I always just had the belief in the power of one person deciding that they can do something in the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's always struck path by me. And I've always, in Northern Ireland, things were bad at a time, but people prayed, people lived into God's word, people lived into God's purposes, and things changed. So that really set a grounding for me in life that I, you know, in any context that I've been in, there's a chance for hope. There's a chance for us all to find a realistic hope in God's purpose in our lives. And through that time, I've been able to work with leaders from all over the world. And just, I suppose, the more you delve into God's purpose, the more you realize that life's between our ears and in our hearts. So really, this coaching formation model, which we both have developed over many years, really comes from a place of just ensuring that every Christian leader has someone that can mentor them, can coach them through their life. And then as we're all blessed to be a blessing, that we pass that on. And, you know, I think any Christian leader at any time should have someone that's coaching them and also someone that they're coaching, and that we use that. And that's how we see through scripture and through history and through the Celtic saints, which you and I have a great passion for. You could just see people invest in each other's lives and understanding that, yeah, things can be good or things can be bad in their lives, but you know, that just that place to have someone that's asking you questions, that's journeying with you through your life, is has been a very important part of my life and my faith journey, and continues to be.
Yeah, I think that's one of the critical needs in the church world today, is that I think especially among planters, pioneers, pastors, missional leaders, is oftentimes it's so easy to kind of get out there by yourself and feel alone, especially pioneers, those that are kind of innovative on the leading edge, oftentimes can be the loneliest. And that's kind of really the heart behind this, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And we use an analogy in the book we've read together in this model that we've developed of when I lived in the west coast of Ireland. We had some humongous storms. So we got the tail end of your hurricanes from America every fall. And you would have these big storms and they would cause havoc. And I would always go for a walk afterwards, not to look at the destruction or the havoc, but to look for a new beach. Because every time there's a storm in the coastline, you end up with a new beach, you end up with a new reality. And we are in a moment for Christian leaders. We are in a definite moment where things are strange. And we know that the old Christian model of some sort of way of being in ministry doesn't work any longer. And we know there's a worldview that just seems so bizarre to us. So we do need to try and take space and reflect and, just reevaluate and know that God's working through these purposes. And what you say sometimes with church planters, with pioneer type people, they do tend to rush off and maybe they don't look after their spiritual life as quickly. And again, we see through scripture, we see through the Celtic saints, we see through the lots of different Christian leaders through the last 2,000 years, the importance of having someone in your life that can journey with you. You know, a wise voice, some sort of intentional wisdom in your voice, some sort of intentional accountability in your life for someone just to ask you questions and just to help you be grounded to God's purposes in your life.
I love that. You know, you and I, a few years ago, kind of a lot of this started, we just had a wonderful little retreat. We were together at a conference, in the north of England, and we just retreated. We drove up into the north of England, and it ended up in Scotland. That's a story we won't tell today. Yeah. But really a lot of this kind of was the overflow of an experience we had on Lindisfarne Island. The spirituality there, St. Aidan, those Celtic missionary saints. Talk to us a little bit about that missional spirituality and the whole ebb and flow, rule of life, rhythms. I'd love to just hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, we really unpacked that during that trip and afterwards. And at the moment, I live in the north coast of Ireland, on where a lot of the Celtic saints in the early 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th century would have sailed over to Scotland in really small boats in really rough seas. And when you look beside the sea, you can see the sea coming in and out, the tides come, you see the ebb and flow of life. That trip really struck with us when we talked about St. Aidan being there and what it would be like for those Celtic saints to have some sort of impulse to actually go. But to go, you must also be able to arrive at a place in God's purposes. So there's an ebb and flow. And we talk in the book about Pope Benedict talking about breathing in God, breathing in God's purposes and breathing out mission. You know, so to be in mission, to partner with God's Spirit, whatever God's ready to do, and we need to fill up, we need to breathe in. And sometimes that means connecting with the vine. You know, fruit goes bad if it's not connected to a vine, if it doesn't have sunlight. And just living here in the north coast of Ireland, it just always reminds me every day of what those Celtic saints, how they were propelled. And one thing that I know you and I are really, really, really interested at the moment about is that we are in a time where so many truths are being dismantled, where so many worldviews are being dismantled. And yet, the time of the Celtic saints, it was the same. Western Europe was being ravaged by the barbarians. The Roman Empire had just collapsed. There was very little order to the world. And yet, over a few hundred years, and specifically over a period of 200 or 300 years, the Celtic saints were able to bring back order to the world, the known world at that time. And really, they were able to bring it back through a sense of missional spirituality. So they had a spirituality that propelled them forward, that propelled them out, that changed the world with kindness, with goodness, with the news, good news of the gospel. It was something that there was something about them that was just really special. And again, these were people who lived in perils of their life at all times. Things were really bad at that time, yet they said, okay, what would it look like to live out God's purposes? What would it look like to be kind to people? To bring back rhythms of even government, of of health, of education, of farming. And it was quite a spectacular period of time when we look at it. So really all that forms into what we're thinking about missional spirituality. And when we build on that of really of the whole monastic orders over the last 2,000 years and how, you know, how that can be influenced in today's leaders and to give them a sense of peace. Because even just in today's world, when COVID has struck, you can see so many leaders are just trying to duplicate their busyness online. So they were already busy, but now they're even more busy online. And we can see just the perils of that. And in our circles and the people I work with, I can see how tired and exhausted people are. So for missional formation coaching isn't really another model of doing something. It's more of a model of being and having a sense of an accountability in your life, a sense of someone to journey with you. We also talk a lot about Joseph Campbell and his theory of a hero's journey. And every hero on a journey always is a mentor, you know, someone that's beside them, someone that can journey with them through their perils of life and the ups and downs of life. So yeah, we're really excited about what's happening and the amount of leaders that we're able to impact through this model at the minute.
Yeah, that's great. We, you know, the beauty of you know, the Aiden mission that came from Iona to Lindisfarne, it's this tiny little island that twice a day becomes separated from the mainland. And then it's opened back up, and it has this rhythm of ebb and flow. And I think that's what we're really trying to get at, as you're touching on this idea of really getting recentered. The ebb and flow for me, these are patterns and rhythms that it's so easy as a leader in the world in which we live in to just get off center. And that just leads to burnout. And what I love about the Lindisfarne mission is that's essentially the primary way that England was evangelized. There were more mission hubs that came out of Lindisfarne than oftentimes people know about Augustine, who came to Canterbury, you know, who the Roman mission, but it's really the Celtic mission. And the beautiful kind of unknown factor to that is the spirituality. And I think that's kind of what's driving kind of the thing behind what we've tried to do is to say that there's a spirituality behind what drove those early missionary saints. And there was a healthiness to that. And what's divorced in a lot of the literature that's out there in the missional church movement, as I've seen, is there's a lot of talk about mission, but there's not a lot of talk about missional spirituality. And that's really a lot of what you've done with a lot of your work. Talk to us for a bit. One of the things we talk about in there is we've kind of built this on a paradigm based on the Ignatian examine model, which is essentially regaining or rediscovering the art of spiritual reflection. Or, you know, taking time to pause and reflect on what God's doing in your life, but also in your ministry and your mission. Talk to us about spiritual reflection, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating when you look back to even in the early centuries where you had the desert hermits who just got fed up with Christianity in the second, third, and fourth century, and they went off to the desert because they wanted to listen to God. And what happened then, which was quite amusing probably, that people came to see them. People came to see them because they seen something in them that they liked, to get away from the busyness and be with someone who was being spiritual, who was listening to God. So this isn't something new. This is something that's reverberated through the last 2,000 years. And even people listening to this will know one person in their life that they love to go to, that just listens to them, that doesn't say a word hardly, but just is there. It might be a grandparent. It might be a friend. It might be a storekeeper. It might be their pastor, but they know there's someone. So there's something deeply attractive to people to be in the presence of someone who listens. And we talk about the art of spiritual listening, listening. And we talk about how, you know, we're in a time where there's so many words. Words are everywhere. They're on social media. They're on the news. They seem to be everywhere. But listening, we talk about two types of listening, one with the human ear and one with the spiritual ear. So fascinating when we were in Lindisfarne, as you said, the tide comes in and out, and for a certain time of that day, you cannot leave that island. You're stuck on the island.
Yeah.
So you're there, and I think it's that natural balance between retreat and doing. And this art of spiritual listening really is always begins and ends with prayer. You know, life is prayer, and prayer is life. Because we all know how fast life is, and we know how busy life is, but we can see that there was just in all God's leaders, women and men throughout the ages, you can see that they retreated, that they listened, they took time. And that probably marked the difference between most of the leaders. They just took time. Jesus retreated. He took time to listen. Many, many other leaders retreated. I just think of the words of Henry Nouwen in his book, In the Name of Jesus, where he says, if there is any focus that the Christian leader of the future will need, it is the discipline of dwelling in the presence of the one who keeps saying, do you love me? And that's a discipline of contemplative prayer, you know, just being abiding with God. When we just even see in Mark 6:31, where after the disciples returned from a busy missionary journey, and they were probably full of beans and stories and feeling great about themselves, and Jesus said, you know, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while, you know. Because spiritual burnout occurs when we do not give ourselves time to rest from our daily return. And one thing that we keep going back to is that we have this Christendom model of church that we can't figure out at the minute. It just doesn't seem to work. It seems angsty. It seems full of anxiousness. It seems to fit in with the world, which is full of anxiousness. And we need this space that can help people not always be busy and not suffer from spiritual burnout, you know, because they don't give themselves time to rest. So missional listening is, spiritual listening is something that was practiced in scripture, was practiced throughout the ages, and is something that, yeah, we all can just keep being aware of and improving of, you know.
You know, a couple of the things that that really we promote in this, one is the importance of establishing these ebb and flow rhythms of times of mission, outflow, giving out, going, you know, sharing, giving, pouring out our lives, but also the rhythm of retreat and solitude and silence, and creating space for reflection and contemplative prayer. And so one of the things that we promote in there is establishing what we call an ebb and flow rule of life. So in the coaching model, we actually help people kind of create something that's unique for them. Everyone's different, aren't they? This is one of, part of the coaching relationship is helping the person being coached to establish a rule of life. But there's also the expectation of daily kind of bringing in that art of spiritual reflection, and we've kind of rooted that in the Ignatian Examen, which is kind of this prayer of reflection that kind of goes through this process of reflecting on what God is doing in our daily lives, our families, our ministry. But the coaching sessions are also built on kind of this monthly kind of session where what we've done is we've taken that Ignatian Examen and applied that to a reflective coaching session where we help people reflect on what God's doing in their practices of ministry. You want to talk about that a little bit, Mark, the actual coaching, and then after that, we'll talk about the training bits.
Yeah. So for some people that might not know, St. Ignatius was a fascinating character. And of course, with all these saints, they weren't saints at that time. They were saints afterwards. So they weren't always the holiest people in the world at the time. But St. Ignatius was, he was wounded in a battle. He was a knight, a soldier. And he was staying in this monastery while he was recovering. And he loved to read books about battles and different things. But there was no books for him to read. So all there was the scriptures. So he read the scriptures, and he got fascinated with the scriptures. And it was after that he just he had a life-changing experience in that place at that time. And then he went on to really be an influential leader in the whole idea of contemplative prayer and monasticism and everything, you know, over the last few hundred years. So his experience of just taking time out actually has affected thousands and maybe millions of people in the way that we think of Christianity today. So, and we write about that in our book, just that basis of that experience of St. Ignatius. And as you say, Winfield, you know, the ebb and flow practices of the missional rule of life is really the ebb practices, you know, is so the breathing in of God and just being and dwelling with God is scripture. Dwelling in scripture, yeah. What does that look like in a daily, weekly, monthly, annual basis for you? Silence and solitude, what does that look like in your life? The daily office, and when we talk about the daily office, that would be some sort of daily routine that you would have of maybe reading scripture, praying, a blessing, you know, whether it's corporate or individual. And a lot of years ago, I was a pastor in a church in the Netherlands, in Holland, in a place called The Hague. And we had a daily office every morning at 9 a.m., Monday to Friday. And the first, you know, I'm a church planter, I'm a pioneer type person. So the first couple of weeks I was like, dude, seriously, we're going to pray, we're going to do all this. I have a book, you know, every morning. And we did it. And you know what? After 2 or 3 weeks, it was such a great grounding as a team to do the daily office together. And when after we gathered, so it got us together, we prayed, we read scripture, we reflected on scripture, we prayed for the world, we prayed for the country, we prayed for the church, we prayed for people, we prayed for conflict, we prayed for everything, all the time, Monday to Friday. And after that, we got so much closer as a team. Our ministry and our work became so, you know, we were just so much conflict. It was probably one of the most harmonious teams I've ever worked in because we had that practice. We were all having a daily office, a daily practice. So there's the scripture, the silence and solitude, the daily office, the study. What does it look like to study in your life, to learn more, you know, whatever that's going to be. A Sabbath. Sometimes pastors can be the worst people in the world to take a Sabbath. They tell everybody else to do that, but they don't do it themselves. So what does it look like for you to have a Sabbath in your life? Simplicity, how do you make your life just more simple? What does it look like to simplify your life? And then to play and recreation, to have fun. What does fun look like in your life? A lot of pastors, when we talk to them about that, they just stare at us and they think of a time they used to have fun. Yeah, fun is so important. To smile, to laugh in our life is just so important. So those are the ebb practices of scripture, silence and solitude, daily office, study, Sabbath, simplicity, play and recreation. And then the flow practices that, you know, what comes out of us then, you know, what we do and who we are is service and mission. So what does it look like? We are blessed to be a blessing. You know, that's a consequence of being a blessing or being blessed as Jesus. That's the hard bit of the Christianity. That's the difference between saying, okay, we're going to have a cozy life and we're just going to go to heaven and we'll sit here until that happens. No, we're blessed to be a blessing. What does it look like to be a blessing in your family? To be that person in your family that's a blessing, is a peacemaker. To be that person in your neighborhood, in your workplace. So the service and mission, what does that look like in a practical outpouring in your daily life? Your care for your physical body. What does it mean to be healthy, to walk 10,000 steps a day, to do that, you know, to just re-energize and look after this body that we've been given? Our emotional health, what does it look like to not be negative, to not be critical? One of the biggest dangers to the church today is cynicism. Cynicism is eating at the church. Cynicism is eating away at the hearts of leaders. What does it look like to not be cynical? What does it look like to try and refrain from being cynical? Family, you know, we hear many stories and we know many stories of people who are very successful at ministry, yet there's families suffer from that. So what does it look like as your family is your first ministry? You know, what would it look like if your family were the ones that were able to tell everybody what you really like? And then community, what type of person are you in that community? So those flow practices are service and mission, care for the physical body, emotional health, family and community. And you can see that's quite a comprehensive list of ebb and flow, of coming and going, of breathing in and breathing out. And then in a coaching relationship, you can see why we've had so much traction with this coaching relationship over the years with people, as it just sets a wee bit of accountability in your life. It sets a wee bit of a structure. It sets, we talked about the vine and the fruit, the coaching relationship, and the missional role of life is really the vine, or sorry, the trellis for that vine, for you to flow, for you to blossom.
Great. Let's tell us a little bit about the website. You know, it's really simple. We have a book that's coming out, but the website, missionalformationcoaching.com rather. We kind of lay out some different kind of coaching options, but also the coach training. So really what we've done is we've developed two pathways. One is for those that are looking for coaching. These are missional leaders that are wanting to be coached. But also the leaders that are out there, maybe there's people who are listening to this that they're a pastor, they're a church planner, pastor, maybe they're a leader or denominational leader or network leader that they're wanting to be trained in how to coach others. Why don't you take a few minutes to tell us about the training option? We've kind of unpacked a bit about the missional spirituality that's kind of in the framework that we use in the missional formation coaching. So talk to us for a few minutes about the kind of the training certification process that we put in place.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting what we've done. As you say, really we have a coaching. If you want to be coached, you can be coached by myself or Winfield. You can get contact via the website. We coach individually, we coach small groups, and we also do learning communities. And our dream and our goal is actually to multiply the many coaches, how many coaches we can have across the world. And we're lucky that we work globally with so many different types of leaders. So part of what we offer is actually a coaching certificate that you can take these skills, you can take this template and apply it to your own life, to your church. And what it would help you do if you had a church or a small church, large church, whatever workplace, whatever it's going to be, that you could have a group of people who have the same understanding what it means to do missional coaching and the same understanding of missional spirituality. So we've worked with churches that can have 10, 100 people undertake the training. And then across that church, across that organization, you can see that everybody will be on the same page. And we have teamed up with, we're in the digital age, we're in the 21st century. So the training can all be took on your cell phone very easily. It's click a link and you're there. And we have different, really what we do, the training is you click on it and there's 8 sessions, and each session matches with the book. So as soon as you sign up for the training, you get a free copy of the book, and then you use the book, put it into practice in your life, and then go back to the online training and go through each session. And there's really, it's the same format. There's little videos that you can watch. There's a chance to learn something. There's a chance to reflect. And within the our tool, we actually have a social element where you can share to the group and you can see other people doing the same training and how they're experiencing coaching in their lives. So there's a social part of it. And again, that helps us learn when we see what other people are doing. And really, it's developed around the 8 sessions of the book, and everything mirrors the book. So the hard part of it is you actually have to read the book, and you have to put the practices, you have to know something about the practice actually to complete the certificate. And it's new, it's modern. We have worked with a new company that really is at the forefront of mobile learning. We see that because of COVID and because of what's happening at the minute, lots of organizations are rushing towards online learning. We haven't rushed so quickly. We've really took our time and had some really good reflective and really good learning around this and good practice. So this is the latest technology that we can find. Yeah. Also, it's yours, it's personalized mobile learning for you to learn. And at the end of it, you get a certificate from us. And more importantly, even the certificate, as I said, you get an understanding of what is missional formation coaching. Because we really believe, and really why we have put so much time and energy over this in the last few years, because whatever's happening in your life, life happens between our ears. Whatever's happening around us, between our ears and in our heart. And if we can change the hearts and minds of Christian leaders to be ready to discover a new beach, to be ready to, we talk about realistic hope as well. You know, after World War II, we were all going to fly to the moon. We were all going to have cars that flew in the air. We were all going to do great. And then things happened in the world. You know, there was big, I mean, with America, 9/11 happened, the financial collapse happened. You know, lots of big things have happened to us in the world in the last 20 or 30 years where we don't feel so hopeful. There's not a lot of hope. And yet, the true essence of the gospel is to be hopeful. So our coaching model is actually to try and create leaders who have a realistic hope, who know that everything isn't always going to be great, whereas everything isn't always going to be bad either. And yet, we are called to be a blessing in this time. And we're not just going to live 60, 70, 80, 90 years. We're going to live for eternity. Yeah, we have something to give to this world. And lastly, just, you know, we always talk about really what we love to work with leaders is to get you as a listener to understand is that you're called to bring something new to the world. You're here for a purpose. God wants you to bring something new to the world. And we always bring something new to the world every day as we turn up in people's lives. And sometimes it can be good or for bad, but you know, we're always bringing something new. So the whole coaching model, missional formation coaching model, is to try and equip people to bring something new to the world. And we want to equip and we want to encourage and empower leaders who understand that God is calling us to make this world an amazing place, to use the creativity of the Holy Spirit to transform neighborhoods from hopelessness to hopefulness, you know, to transform the darkest of places with the light of Christ. And that's the heart of our model, and that's the heart of why we have put so much work into this coaching process and our certification process. So I hope that's quite a long answer to a short question, Manfield. I hope it makes sense.
No, I love it. Mark, I think our time is coming to an end. Great to have you here with us. And I'm so excited to be able to partner with you on this tool, making available to leaders. And this isn't just something that's new. I think, one, it's based on an ancient model, but this is also kind of the fruit of several decades of work that you and I've been doing with leaders from around the world. We've shared this with leaders in more than 10 countries, five different continents. And so this is, again, this isn't just like something new that we're just kind of throwing out there. This is based on, there's a historic rootedness. There's a theology behind it, practical theology that we've kind of built, but also a very real kind of practitioner experience that we're bringing to this. And it kind of a shared experience. We've gotten feedback. We've shared it with leaders from around the world. And so we're excited to share that with you. Mark, I'd love for you to close us with a word of prayer. Maybe, I don't know if you have that prayer of St. Aidan, or I know you've written some beautiful prayers for missional leaders. I don't know if you'd be able to, or maybe just pray from your heart.
Yeah, let's just pray. Lord, we give thanks for everything you do. We give thanks that there are storms in our lives, Lord. We give thanks that there are upheavals. And we give thanks that there are opportunities for us to see and discover a new beach in our lives. So especially, Lord, we just pray at this moment, this time, for anyone listening to this podcast who is feeling lost, who is feeling a bit discouraged, who just wonders what it's all about. We just ask you, Lord, at this moment in time to speak into their hearts. And Lord, we just ask you to fill us with that sense of adventure that the Celtic saints had. Could you just imagine just stepping onto a small boat in an Irish sea for no reason, but just to do God's purposes, you know? So Lord, we just ask for that sense of adventure, that sense of purpose in everyone's life who's listening to this, Lord, today. Just propel us forward. And we give thanks for the message of Jesus and the good news of the gospel, Lord. And we just thank you for your grace, Lord. That grace that has reverberated through thousands of years, Lord. Through all the generations, through all the saints, throughout church history, to right now, Lord, at this time, in this place, in our hearts, in our minds, wherever we are, wherever we're listening to this. So, Lord, just open our hearts with your Spirit. Be with us and help us to know, Lord, that we are blessed to be a blessing. And we just ask all this, Lord, in the name above all names. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much for being with us today, Mark.
Thank you, Winfield.